It's Hughesy, a ho ho hello. Hilarious play on words there, considering the season that we're in. Today we're turning to the podcast for the fourth or fifth time, I'm not too sure. The excellent Vince Russo. Everybody knows that I'm a big Christmas kind of girl, and I also love my music debates, so why not, of course, do my annual tradition of the Christmas Top 5, which changes every year. Only this year we've gone with the great Vince Russo, the legendary WWE writer, and the, of course, the boss between the brand, now Channel Attitude, all kinds of great stuff. Have to say up front that if you think this is just all about Christmas music, I do ask Vince some good gossipy questions about the 90s era of pro wrestling, and if you don't like the sound of that, we'll just skip ahead forward and it'll all be a great time. A couple of quick plugs just while I'm on here. Not the the usual plugs, but I've got to say that at the time of recording this, most recently did an appearance on the great Ski Mask Collective with the lovely Chrissy Mayer, honk honk. So check that one out if you want to see. I think it went pretty well. Also check me out on, I returned to the New Generation Declassified. Speaking of pro wrestling, of course, the great Chad, he asked me to go on and we viewed or debated the Survivor Series from Days of Yonder. So there you go. But the all-important type of plugs, if you want to follow me on social media, I'm at the Hughesy on Instagram, at the Hughesy on Twitter. Here's the thing I don't get. If you go on my Instagram, I have about 500 something followers. Yet if you go to my Twitter, I have just over 5,000. So let's see if I can migrate some of the Twitter people over to Instagram. In fact, from now on, I will not reply to tweets. I will only reply to Instagrams, or whatever the fuck they're called over there. But of course, as I mentioned, the great Vince Russo, this of course was recorded via Zoom video footage. If you want to see the video footage of this great interview, then go to Hughesy Entertainment on YouTube. We are at 10,000.8 subscribers, whatever that counts as. It's going well. I don't really update it as much as I should, but as you will have noticed at the time of hearing this, I've updated it a lot more often. We're going great. And of course, Vince Russo, legendary name from the pro wrestling world, but if you want to hear the pro wrestling world spoken about by other legends, the legendary Conan and Disco Inferno, then go check out Keeping It 100 Official on YouTube. That is the official YouTube channel for the most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. You'll get all kinds of reviews, interviews, arguments, controversial stories, everything you would want from being a mark. It's over there on Keeping It 100 Official. And of course, you will hear these music clips in the background. We do not own them, and we encourage you to go buy them from all good official music stores and streaming sites. So thank you, and the plugs are over. Okay, no time like the Christmas present. Hilarious. That's why I get all the numbers. We're going to jump right into the first half of the Vince Russo episode. And should I say interview on this episode? How hilarious am I? I'm a wild and crazy guy, and this episode proves it all. Vince Russo, we're going to drop some ads here, and the first thing you'll hear back will be me and Vince Russo marking it up like a couple of marks, marking around the Christmas tree. Support to you for It's Hughesy Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, who just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. You know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below the waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about 6 of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my Hell's Bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's HUGEZY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGEY, HUGEZY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show. Old Saint Nicholas says ho ho ho. Today's returning guest, the legendary Vince Russo, notorious for saying Bro. Vince Russo, how are you doing today?
Bro, you're very well groomed today, man. You've nicely trimmed the beard, a nice boyish Jeremy Borash type haircut. What are you changing your image, bro?
No, it's just that I've started to drink a lot again. So I thought if I'm going to get drunk all the time, I need to at least look presentable.
Bro, you clean up well. You look very, very nice.
Well, speaking of nice, what do you think of this Christmas jumper?
Oh, nice. I like it. I love the sweater, the background, man.
Ah, fuck.
You're disappearing in the green screen, which is always nice, man.
Yeah, I was. But of course, we're going to start this episode with a quick apology to you. Because, of course, people know that I do the Keeping 100 YouTube, and I always go for the clickbait because, well, I love the mess with marks, but it's never the intention to cause any trouble for the people who are being spoken about. So if I caused any issues with you talking about JR or stuff like that, 100% hands up, apology, my fault. I was trying to make money from marks, not start any shit.
Nah, bro, all good. You could never have heat with me, bro. Come on, bro. Are you kidding me?
That being said, can I ask you three Mark questions before we begin the Christmas debate?
Bro, you keep disappearing like the Invisible Man. I mean, are you new to the green screen, bro? What's going on? Oh, yeah, I keep losing you to the scene in the back.
This is the... Well, because I'm Irish, so everything's green.
Bro, you clean up really nice. I mean, I never like, are you applying for a job later today? Like, what's going on with you? Look at you, man.
I think it's just really because I always forget that I put clips of this from YouTube, and I've always thought, you know, maybe if you have a shower, and maybe if you don't, you know, you remember to brush your teeth, you won't.
Wait, what was that? Wait, back up. What was that? A what? A who?
A shower. A whore's bath.
Oh, God. A shower?
Yeah. Can you do an Irish accent?
Ashar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
it's
nice.
Like one R with an S at the front, you know.
Very nice.
Of course, anyone who knows me knows I'm a mark for the 90s era. After that, I don't care. But I'll never not be a mark for the great 90s era. I always like to ask you three more questions so that I can clickbait marks to on YouTube. So I've got to ask you this one question about... it's a storyline, of course, you wrote this fucking... By the way, I did this podcast with Rad Rob, and we both agreed that the stuff you wrote leading up to, well, the summer of 98, that's the greatest era run of TV, fucking wrestling ever. It's like, and I think it's because of you that the video games were huge, because, like, why would I not want to play as all these characters? Give him the money that he deserves.
Yeah, no, that's, that. I appreciate that, man, thanks.
Question is, though, the rumor that I'd heard is that in the lead up to SummerSlam 98, which was, of course, headlined by Austin and Undertaker, Austin was booked to drop the belt to Kane at King of the Ring. This amazing match. But the rumor was that Kane was supposed to hold it until the next pay-per-view, but Austin demanded getting it back 24 hours later. Is that a bunch of...
Absolutely untrue. Absolutely untrue, bro. Absolutely.
Can you remember if there's any plans for Austin to and Kane to pick that story back up?
Nah, bro. I'm telling you, bro. Like, I can remember when I was there. Like, everything you saw was according to plan. Bro, we were so prepared, man, that, you know, everything was planned out and everything was agreed on. I only remember one time Shawn Michaels, who wasn't even active at the time, showed up at a TV and started stirring shit, and it caused a WrestleMania to be changed. Outside of that, bro, everything you saw was planned exactly how you saw it. Everything.
Do you know what that WrestleMania change was?
I remember, bro, it was supposed to be a triple threat. I think it was Austin, Rock, and Mankind, Mick, and Shawn got in Austin's ear, and Mick was out of the match. Whoa. And I was very pissed off because I was the one that had to tell Mick, and it broke Mick's heart because I think it was in New York, I think. But, bro, that's the only time I remember big plans changing.
Well, sadly, it was all downhill for The Rock after WrestleMania. I heard that loser only got offered $20 million for 3 weeks' work on Fast and Furious 10. He is pathetic.
Pathetic, man. Chump change. Chump change, bro. Yeah.
That's why I won't let him on the show, whoever he is.
I wouldn't. He'll kill the ratings.
Yeah. Speaking of The Rock, who... I know is Dwayne Johnson. I'm not name dropping. I'm just saying. Of course, for any Vince Russo critics, The Rock is the only guy who I've ever seen publicly come out and speak about and defend on Twitter. So Pritchard and Bischoff and Cornette.
Very nice.
The Rock fucking comes to defend the VR dog. But,
very nice. Thank you.
Another question I've got, and I love this one because this is the storyline that I've been watching a lot of now. It was the whole DX versus The Nation stuff. With The Rock and Triple H, they both openly said that that in real life, the feud was, although not that they were having real fights, but there was a lot more tension in reality. There's a story I've heard that at one point, the original plan for WrestleMania 15 was Austin versus Triple H. But then at SummerSlam, The Rock and Triple H was so great, and The Rock was basically like Elvis, so over that Vince McMahon's like, well, we gotta change plans, pal. But then the word was that Austin, who still had a little hate with Shawn Michaels, said, fuck that, we're sticking with we're going with The Rock. You know what I'm saying? That's my Sable impression.
Yes.
So are there any truth to any of that?
Not true. None of that is true, bro. Zero. Bro, there were three guys. You know, here's the thing you got to understand. Because, you know, bro, like, I don't want to call Bruce a liar or JR a liar. I would never call those guys liars. But, bro, here's the bottom line. Bruce would have conversations with Vince that I wasn't privy to. JR would have conversations with Vince that I wasn't privy to. But, bro, when it came down to writing the shows, there were three people. It was Vince, Ed Ferrara, and myself. That's it. We were the guys, me and Ed were the guys that put pen to paper. We wrote the shows. So, you know, bro, if Pritchard tells a story like that or JR, bro, they could have had these sidebar conversations with Vince and talent that I knew nothing about. But I'm telling you, the three guys that were writing the show, that is not true.
But for clickbait, we can say The Rock and Triple H hated each other. They stabbed each other and they're still fighting today. And all those matches were real, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. You can go with that.
And by the way, I can say this. Bruce Pritchard is a liar. I interviewed him a couple of years ago about this infamous WrestleMania 9 story from back in 93 or 92. And he said all those stories were wrong. Or so all those rumors were wrong. He's then gone on his own show and has every rumor that I had asked him about, he's since gone on to say was true. But it's like, you fat liar.
Bro, you know what bothers me a little about, you know, Bruce with you know, that show and the stories and stuff like that? Bro, I'm 60 years old. I've forgotten a lot. And if I forget something, I say I forgot. But bro, you know, listen, the reality of it is Bruce liked his alcohol. Bruce liked his pills. And that's the thing that blows me away. For a guy that had some battles and struggles with alcohol and pills, he thinks he remembers everything. And I'm like, bro, I didn't drink. I didn't take pills. I don't remember everything. So for him to think he's got this photographic memory when part of the time he was drinking, part of it, it's just no, bro. Like he thinks he remembers everything. And the reality of it is he doesn't, bro.
You don't drink or you've never drank?
I'm not a drinker. No, bro.
I am, in time for another can.
What do you have in your hand? A glass? Because I'm seeing a snow background. The glass just disappeared.
Oh, no, this is a pint of Guinness, which I'm about to pour.
Very nice.
Okay. Steve Austin had Steve Weiser's. I've got Boozy Hughesies.
Very nice.
Speaking of Irish, the final mark.
Well, what time is it over there that you're drinking over there like that?
Beer o'clock. no, it's just coming up to 20 past 5 p.m. So
okay. You're okay then. You're all right.
Although it doesn't excuse the 5 vodkas that I had before recording.
Very nice. Very nice.
Speaking of Irish, of course, one of the things Ireland's synonymous with is shamrocks. And I've got to ask you about the great Ken Shamrock. But yes. By the way, I could take and I should. And I'm just saying, I don't want to... I always thought he was great. He had that great series with The Rock, yeah. For like half a year, it seemed.
Yes.
All these amazing matches. The fans loved him. Excuse me. He won the King of the Ring, all that stuff. But then he never got pushed to the top. At a time when it seemed like with the reality-based stuff that Steve Austin was doing, it seemed like Austin versus Shamrock was a really logical... A big match. So do you have any insight or do you know why Austin versus Shamrock
that was all contractual, man. It was all contractual. That was money and contract, and that was above my head. I know there were problems with Shamrock when it came to money and contract. And I know that prevented us creatively from doing a lot of stuff that we wanted to do. And then, you know, I did an interview with Shamrock a couple of years ago, and he pretty much confirmed that. Like, there were always some type of contract issues with Ken.
Yeah, because I always found it was really strange how he just, I think it was after you'd left the WWE, how Shamrock just one week didn't turn up on TV, and it's almost as if they've erased him from memory.
Yeah. It definitely was money and contract, and that was stuff I didn't know about.
Do you think that he ever had the skills to be a top guy? Or was
Oh, absolutely. Bro, I never saw. I mean, bro, I know he, dabbled in wrestling a little. But, bro, the transition that guy made from MMA to wrestling was incredible. I work with a lot of MMA guys, bro. Nobody made the transition like Shamrock, man. He was one of the most believable wrestlers, bro, of literally all time.
Yeah, was there ever, you know what, I can just hear how dumb of a question this is in my head, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm ugly and I've got a small penis. Was there ever any consideration to put him in the Brawl for All, or is that just me being an idiot?
Not, bro, the Brawl for All was open to everybody. I mean, everybody got an invitation. I believe him and Severin turned that down, but everybody had an invitation to get into that Brawl for All.
Well, tell you what, they're all just lucky that Shane McMahon wasn't in it, because Shane O'Mac is a legit tough guy from the streets.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEZY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEZY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. This fantastic 5-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's Hughesy Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. Thank you! And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing. We've got a special deal for It's Hugey Hello listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you gotta do though is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast. And on with the show. Okay, Marks, there you go. If you were tuning in to hear the wrestling talk, that's the end of it. That'll probably be the last time I speak about pro wrestling in 2021, thank God. So, goodbye, goodbye. But if you're here for the main draw and you want to hear myself and the great Vince Russo debating the top 5 Christmas songs of all time, well, stay in, and if you're getting stoned or you're having a drink, this is the good part, okay, kids? Bunch of scumbags, you fucking cunts. Sorry, I was talking to someone else. We now return to the main event, Vince Russo. Okay, any marks listening? That's the end of the wrestling talk. Bye. Okay, I think they're gone, Vince.
Okay, thank God. Okay. Thank God.
Man. Yeah, fucking marks. the real reason I've got the great Vince Russo on today is, of course, one of the things why Vince is one of my girls is I know he's a huge music fan. He's always, what do you call it, disc flogging or disc logging or whatever the fuck the word is. vinyl and stuff. I only just last week bought my first ever LP player, bought my first ever vinyl, which was a Christmas present from Phil Spector.
Very nice. Very nice.
It sounds great. So this episode, we've got the great Vince Russo on for the top 5 Christmas songs of all time. Vince, when it comes to making a list like this, is it easy for you?
No, it's not. It's really not, bro. Because you gotta go through the catalog of Christmas songs. There's so many out there. You got to make sure you don't forget some. But it was not easy, bro. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, one of the things that drives me nuts is, There's a song, it's a famous Irish Christmas song called Fairy Tale of New York. And I'll bleep the word out, but in the song, it's about a homeless couple fighting on Christmas Day. And in the argument, the woman calls the man, she goes, "You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy." The problem is, in Ireland, while that word still means the homophobic thing, it's also a term for idiot. So that's what they mean in that song. And every year they try to get it banned. They try to get Baby It's Cold Outside cancelled. I'm convinced White Christmas will be called offensive soon. my Christmas, you know, my Christmas single is going to get bad. Getting Away with the Murder on Christmas Eve. Like you snowflakes. But if I think that the term snowflake at Christmas will get banned.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, but I hate that stuff. But Christmas music, I think, is my favorite genre. I start on November 1st up until Christmas Day. Then I don't want to hear it. Then I'm gone. Yeah. And it's back,
bro,
to rocking.
Like, I do the same exact thing, bro, because, you know, there's a couple radio stations here in Colorado, and I think the day after Thanksgiving, they play Christmas straight through. And that's when I listen to, the day after Thanksgiving up until Christmas, I listen to Christmas music nonstop.
Yeah, because we don't do Thanksgiving over here because we hate them dirty pilgrims. So it's as soon as Halloween's over. It used to be, even when I was younger, before, you know, the police were after me, in certain bars and nightclubs on Halloween night at midnight, they would start playing Christmas music. And of course, the prices for drinks would
Skyrocket. Yeah, of course.
Skyrocket.
A gimmick. Big gimmick. Yes.
But no time like the Christmas present. I really am a high quality podcaster.
Yes.
Vince, what have you getting at number five as the greatest Christmas song of all time?
You mentioned it. You mentioned it, bro. My number five is Baby, It's Cold Outside, sung by the great Dean Martin. You know, it changed over the years, and it was always a guy and a girl singing the tune. But originally, when this came out in the 50s, it was Dean Martin singing it by himself. That's number five on my list.
I absolutely love this song. And the thing that's so weird about this type of music, like Dean Martin, I generally don't like that sort of music. But when you hear that at Christmas, like they'll have like a, I don't think it's Dean Martin singing Let It Snow at the end of Die Hard.
And you just think, it is. It is.
Like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
But so, of course, you mentioned the controversy behind the song. Do you think that, like, is this actually, is it a rape culture song, or is it just a guy saying, do you want to not go outside in the freezing cold and maybe have a drink instead?
Yeah, no, it's a guy, who fancies a female and, you know, listen, it's baby, it's cold outside and, you know, maybe we can get to know each other a little bit, come inside into the warmth. Let's get in front of the fire, cuddle up. Nothing wrong with this song, bro.
Yeah, and ironically, it's one of these few songs where I only like the original. A lot of the covers are absolute shizer.
I agree with you. I agree.
At number five, I'm going with the very cheery one. It's called A Winter's Tale by Queen. Do you know this one?
I don't think I know this one, bro.
There's quite a tragic story behind this one. Of course, Freddie Mercury, of course, got the AIDS virus. You don't have the AIDS, do you?
I do not.
Oh, good, because I was worried in case you were going to say that you did. By the way, you're not planning on giving me AIDS for Christmas, are you?
No, I am not. No.
Oh, no. Good. I was worried in case you were going to say that you were. Freddie Mercury was in his sick bed, of course, really ill, but he got this like jolt of energy. This was in his final year of life. It had like a tape recorder, and he sang this song a cappella, sort of looking out his window in, I think he was staying in Switzerland or whatever. So after he died of AIDS, the rest of the band got a hold of the tape, so they then wrote the music around Freddie's deathbed song.
Yeah.
And you can hear it in the song that his voice is not what it was because he's got AIDS and all that stuff. But this song, it's not exactly, you know, getting the party started, but it's definitely one to listen to, and it sets a mood.
What is the name of it again, bro?
A Winter's Tale.
Gotta find it.
Yeah, well, although Freddie Mercury should have called it an infected tail because he had AIDS. What have you got in there at number four?
Bro, one of my favorites. It's a current classic. Even though it's been around now for quite a while. It's been around since the 90s, I'd say. So it's not that current. It's probably about 20 years old now. Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, bro.
Brilliant.
I break that out every I got a South Park Christmas, bro, and that is the first track, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, and I love it. One of my favorites.
Sometimes he's nutty, sometimes he's corny. It can be brown or greenish brown.
That's
that just gives you all the feels of like, oh, family.
Yes, 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 yes. Very cheery, very merry, bro.
That is a brilliant song. And I've got to tell you, see that Brawl for All, Vince? We need to start up the Toilet Bowl for All.
Yes.
Anybody who thinks they can beat me the day after Christmas, come on, tough guy.
Yes, very nice.
If I can take 4 days of ham and gravy back to back, I could take Dan Severn. Come on, fucking big nose. But do you not find it weird that at Christmas the novelty songs like that are actually great songs? And it's like, that's a good song. Absolutely, bro.
I've got another novelty song on this list. Absolutely.
I think I know what it is, but we'll get to that soon. At number 4, I'm going to go with one of the more obvious classics, The Bells of St. Mary by Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans.
Are these Irish favorites, bro? I never heard of this song, bro.
You're not a huge mark for Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans?
No.
So all those rumors online is that Vince Russo wanted to do a Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans gimmick in WWE, which is fake.
Not true. Wait, what is the name of this song again? The Bells of St. Mary? What?
Yeah, it's off the A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector album. And nobody says Christmas more than Phil Spector, who murdered a woman in his house.
What is that? What does that have to do with Christmas?
Oh, it's on his Christmas album.
That he murdered a woman in his house is on his Christmas album?
No. Well, he murdered her in real life.
I know he did, but how did you just tie that in with Christmas? Did he murder her on Christmas?
I don't know, but her brain spread against the wall, just like this song spreads Christmas cheer. I'm only joking. He shot her in the tits.
Bro, this is supposed to be a Christmas show. you just kill the mood for me, bro. You just kill the mood.
I do apologize. What have you got in there at number, as they
number
say in the streets?
Number 3, bro. I still have this album, the original album, when I was maybe 5 years old. This has far and away been played more than any Christmas album I own. It is worn out, but I loved it as a kid, and I love it now. I love the Chipmunks Christmas, and my favorite song on that is Christmas Don't Be Late, when Alvin sings about still wanting his hula hoop. My third favorite song, bro, since I've been a kid.
Do you want to know, I'd never heard this album before until last year. When I think it was, I can't remember if it was Venom Vinyl or you made an appearance on the Mike Durban show. I can't remember the name of the guy who hosted it, though. And you spoke about the Chipmunks album. And at the time, I thought, what the fuck are they doing? And then I listened to the song clips and it's like, these are good songs.
They're great songs. Timeless.
And what I always love about these songs is when people try to sing along to it, they try to sing along to it in the Chipmunk's voice. it's like, no, you're not going to be able to do such a thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's why nobody ever really covers it.
Yes, that's right.
Although if any band is going to cover the Chipmunks, it's got to be Metallica.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the Bobby and the Bobby Sox. Who was that?
You mean Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans?
Yes, I thought they'd cover it, yes.
You're going to love that song once you hear it. It's got that whole, the bells will ring out. Oh, yeah. At number 3, I'm going for Please Come Home for Christmas by Bon Jovi.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right.
I have a theory to this song. I think that John Bon Jovi was sitting in his mansion one day thinking, you know what I love? Blowjobs. And then he thought, you know who I'd love to get a blowjob off? Cindy Crawford. And he's probably sitting there going, now how could I get one from Cindy Crawford and not get in trouble with the old bitch who her wife? He goes, I know. I'll do a Christmas song and it'll be about me wanting my ex-girlfriend to come back and we'll do the video with Cindy Crawford. And because I'm such a nice guy, in the video, we'll invite a bunch of Make-A-Wish children and special needs children to the set. We'll include that in the video. And during the break, I'll say to her, hey, Cindy, how about you give JBJ L, you know what? And I think that's the whole process and the conception behind this song, which also happens to be a very, very good cover.
Wait a minute. Is there any reference to Cindy Crawford in this song?
No, but she's in the music video and she's
Okay. All right. I got you. Okay.
And by the way, if you've seen what Cindy Crawford looks like in 2021, I can't even imagine what it was like to be with her back. In fact, you know what? Actually, I did have sex with Cindy Crawford and it was okay. 4 out of 10. Yeah.
Nothing special. Okay. So this video you speak of is about what, 20 years old?
Yeah, I think it came out in like 94, 95. Okay. And she looks amazing. She's in, of course, she's in very short hot pants. Old BJ's going after, you know, the old friendly grope, you know, for MTV purposes.
Yes. Oh, I got to check that out. I don't think I've ever seen that video.
Yeah, it's really good. And Cindy Crawford, let me tell you something. She gets my wink of the week.
Very nice. Tell me the name of that video again. I got to write this down. I'm writing these down. Go ahead.
Please Come Home for Christmas.
Please Come Home for Christmas.
By okay. Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans.
Okay. I got to write that down. Okay. And that's, Please Come Home for Christmas. That's the Bon Jovi one, right?
Yeah, it's probably the most covered Christmas song ever, but, you know, it's really good.
Okay.
What did you get in there?
Is it Please Come Home for Christmas or I'll Be Home for Christmas?
Please Come Home for Christmas.
Which is different than I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Exactly.
Okay, I got to go. I don't know that song. Okay.
We've already spoken about Mr. Hankey, but Vince, what have you get in there at number two?
Number two, I've got, I get serious songs now. Number two, I've got And So This Is Christmas by John Lennon. But yeah. I got to say something, bro. You know how, like, you've turned me on to some of these videos that I need to watch now? Bro, a couple of years ago, Miley Cyrus covered this song on SNL, and Sean Lennon was playing guitar on the song. Bro, you got to check that version out. It will literally bring tears to your eyes. I mean, one of the best renditions of any Christmas song I ever heard. But yeah, I love John Lennon's original And So This Is Christmas.
Have you heard Andy Williams' version of it?
I have not.
It's genuinely shockingly good because it was in his later years.
Right.
And you can tell that he's old, but he's still got that voice.
Wow, bro, I got to check out so many things you're telling me about, bro. I didn't even know that existed, man.
Oh, Andy Williams is something else. But yeah, the John Lennon version, it's amazing because he was such a hypocritical, double standard hippie.
Yes.
I'm going to bleep the word out, but he has a song called, Woman is the N-word of the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's like, how could anybody put a song out with that in the title and think, oh, yeah, this will be okay. And then and he does all these interviews going, I just don't understand the outrage. It's a song about femininity. It's like, you're calling women, all women the N-word, you fucking dumb English cunt.
Bro, that's a good Lennon, man. Very nice.
I can do a Paul McCartney, too.
Let me hear. Give me a little
Paul McCartney. It's always about, I've always get a lot of hate with Paul McCartney's fake modesty.
Yes.
It's like, I've been working on songs all the time, but when I was in this band called The Beatles, I don't know if you ever heard of us, there was four of us. There was myself, Ringo, George Harrison, and John Lennon, and we had a whole bunch of hits back in the day. And it's like, if you don't think we know who The Beatles are, you're worse than Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans.
Bro, that was great. I never knew you were an impressionist, bro. I'm seeing this whole new side today, man.
I can do it. Hey, as Cindy Crawford said, I'm quite orally talented.
Ah!
At number two, I've got one of the most obvious classics, Christmas Baby Please Come Home by Darlene Love.
Wait a minute, where are you getting these songs from, bro?
You don't know this song?
I don't know the song. I never heard of the... Are these all Ireland things, bro?
This is outrageous. This is on the album, A Gift for You from Phil Spector.
Bro, hold on a minute. You just got this Phil Spector album, and now all your favorite Christmas songs are from an album you just bought?
This song's from the 60s. You don't know it. The snow's coming down. I'm leaving the door. You don't know this one?
I don't know this one, no.
Are you sure? Because this was also in the film The Goodfellas, which confirmed that all Italians are murderers, correct?
Yes, yes.
How many people have you killed?
That's kayfabe.
Oh, well, hopefully you didn't kill him with the AIDS virus.
No, I did not.
Oh, because I was worried.
Who is this song and who is this artist again?
Darlene Love. This is, she used to come and sing it on the Late Show with David Letterman every year. This is outrageous.
I'm writing down Darlene Love. I'm gonna check out Darlene Love for you, bro.
There's no way you haven't heard this song. Once you hear it, you'll go that fruit was right.
What's the name of the song again?
Christmas Baby Please Come Home.
I can't wait to hear what your number one is.
Oh, it's going to get controversy. But speaking of number ones, Vince Russo, bro, what do you have as the number one Christmas song of all time?
Bro, I am a sucker for this song. Like this, when you asked me to do this show, I mean, bro, there's one Christmas song that always stands out for me and I freaking love. And it's not a classic, bro, but I love it, love it, love it, love it. I love Faith Hill's Where Are You Christmas from The Grinch. I love that song, bro.
I likely have heard that, but I don't personally own it. See, the thing about The Grinch film is, while it's a great film, wait, you mean the Jim Carrey one?
Yeah.
Have you heard about how much of a dick Jim Carrey is?
Yeah, man, I heard a lot of stories from Lola firsthand when they were filming the A Man on the Moon, yeah.
Yeah, I heard there was a film that Jim Carrey was in called Lemony Snicket's, a series of... And apparently on that set, he was such a nightmare. And that was originally supposed to be the start of like a new Harry Potter type franchise. That on the set, he was so difficult that the studio just said, no, we're not doing more films with him. They canceled Ace Ventura 3. Wah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like there was a thing where one of the kids in the film was given like a golf buggy to drive around, and they had all this sort of like it's a spruced up golf buggy, and the kid was like, oh wow, I've got a car. So Jim Carrey pulled up in his real life Lamborghini and started giving the kid shit, because it's like they basically give him a toy, and Jim Carrey's going, you think that golf buggy's any good? Look at my Lamborghini. Look at all this stuff I've got. Listen, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know this song. I assume I've heard it. I love the Grinch film.
Yes.
Vince, does the background of a singer, their controversial side, does that affect your opinion on their songs that they've made?
It depends what kind of a background you're talking about.
At number one, I'm going with the song called Another Rock and Roll Christmas by Gary Glitter.
Bro, is this entire show a rib? Do none of these songs exist? Are you ribbing me for this entire show?
this song is legit, but do you know who Gary Glitter is?
I have no idea.
Well, I can tell because Gary Glitter, about 20 years ago, was exposed as a notorious, brutal pedophile.
Yeah, then I can't support that song.
Yeah, but and he is usually shit, but this song is it's a really good song, and it's tough to
What's the name of it again? What's the name?
It's called Another Rock and Roll Christmas. And there's a great thing where Norm MacDonald was being interviewed, and the topic of Christmas songs came up, and someone said to Norm, you know, the problem with Gary Glitter is this great Christmas song is gone forever. And Norm MacDonald says, he goes, I don't think that the song being gone is the worst thing that Gary Glitter ever did. You know what I'm saying? So, but by the way, of course, you're not a pedophile, are you?
Is this, bro, do these songs, is this a whole rip on me, this show?
All these songs exist. All these songs will get you drinking for Christmas.
I did not know one song on your list, bro.
These songs are all must-haves, must-additions. I'm going to screenshot them and send it to your Twitter.
And are these all on the Phil Spector album that you just received?
No, these are all from separate albums. But I'm shocked you don't have that Phil Spector one.
I don't have that one. That one I do not have.
That is outrageous. But yeah. Thankfully, what we've, over this Christmassy themed episode, we've discussed AIDS, murder, blowjobs, and pedophilia.
Bro.
Oh, I'll and shit.
Yes, I'll tell you what I just got, bro, that I really, really enjoyed. I just played it for the first time. It came out on Friday, and I just played it for the first time over the weekend, bro. You know what I'm talking about?
Steve Perry.
Yes, very, very nice. Very nice.
I ordered that in, I think it was early November, but its release date here is being delayed until later November.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good, bro.
So it's coming, but how's his voice holding up?
I mean, for this, it's good. He can never be the old Steve Perry, but if he sticks to ballads and stuff like this, he's fine.
Just before I let you go, what's your take on the song Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues?
Bro, listen, listen to the people listen to this show. I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I get the joke. He's not pulling one over on me. I know these songs and these people do not exist. For the record, and don't edit this part out. Don't edit this part out where I'm telling people this was a rib on me. These songs do not exist. And I want everybody to know that. And do not edit that part out to make me look like an idiot.
These are all beautiful songs. And any alcoholic who doesn't care about the beer shits in the winter, they're must-owns. Vince, just as we're beginning to wrap up, is there anything you would like to plug for all these festive elves of mine out there?
Yeah, I got a lot to plug, but I'm only going to plug one thing, man. I just started a series on Patreon, man, called Vince versus Vince. I'm going to walk through my entire history with Vince McMahon from the day I met him up until 2 weeks ago, where there was a very spirited email exchange between the both of us.
Whoa.
And I am going to reveal those emails. I am going to talk about those emails because those emails are the period of the end of the sentence of my relationship with Vince McMahon. So I'm doing a series called Vince versus Vince. You can only get it on patreon.com/RussoTWC.
That is actually a perfect idea, Vince, because as I'm sure you've heard, there's a Vince McMahon documentary coming to Netflix and the network that does the TV. Do you watch the impeachment TV show?
I love that show, man. Great show.
Their next season is about the Vince McMahon steroid trial.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's because that's the next one. And then the season following that's going to be about Studio 54.
Oh, wow. Great. Are you watching that impeachment show?
I am. And I've got a little bit of hate with the accent of the what do you call him, the Bill Clinton, because they hired an English guy. So his accent sounds like, hello, apples and pears. I'm from Kansas. You know? When really he should speak like this, Vince Russo. I'm a total mark for Bobby Sox and the Blue Jays.
Very nice. There's some man. There's some great acting on that show, though, man. Some great acting.
It is, Vince, but I'm only here because I heard someone said that Cindy Crawford was handing out BJs.
Oh man, I didn't know. So they're doing a steroid thing.
Yeah, that's coming in, based on their schedule, that'll probably not be out until, 2024 or whatever, but it's, that's the next season.
Wow.
And Netflix is doing, do you remember the people that did the OJ documentary?
Yes, yep.
It was, three parts, and every section was three episodes long. They have a Vince McMahon documentary coming very soon. The problem is, I've heard that Vince is involved with it, so I'm assuming it's going to be,
Of course, absolutely, of course, yep.
But, Vince, I always love recording these with you. What say you in 2022 we do a top five of Kiss?
Yes, let's do that, definitely.
Because I've got some controversial opinions of Kiss.
So and you got to talk to me too. I want to get back to that idea you had for Channel Attitude, man.
That's definitely something I'm going to work on in next year once I've got more time.
Good.
Vince, we will give a big wave to the boys and girls back out at home and say bye. Bye bye,
everybody. God bless. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Thank you, Vince. And hopefully, another episode will be done in early 2022, which is fucking surreal to say. So I do think, though, that Vince Russo is going to go into the Hall of Fame. I have to admit it. But I'm sure he could give half of a shit about the Hall of Fame or what I think. But that being said, I'm very grateful for those who've downloaded the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. More to come. Just waiting for confirmation. Should be great, but we've got some good episodes planned to run out through the rest of the year to keep you through your Christmas hangovers and beer shits and food comas and whatever you would need for this lovely time of the lovely year. Thank you for listening, and it's Hughie. Bye-bye.